The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight. How are you doing, people? On the regular chat, are we live? Sometimes it's hard to know Rumble. Okay, we are live. End of the line, Joel says, is the eternal choice for America MAGA conservatives to back a president who only slows the country's destruction instead of reversing it, instead of reversing the destruction? Yeah, I believe that is the big question of the next 20 years of politics. It's when do you say what the Republican Party is giving us is not enough and I'm rooting for the opposition? I know that the Democrats represent a distraction of American society. But sometimes, you know, at some point it hurts to remove the Band-Aid, but you decide to go through that hurt because you know there's something better at the outset. You know that it's just a single moment of pain and you're willing to endure that pain because you want to remove the Band-Aid. And that's pretty much the situation we're in. Will you endure eternal pain under Jewish-controlled Republicans, or will you side with a political side that you don't actually agree with? I don't agree with the Democrats. I think they're very, very bad. But at some point, you need to punish the Republicans. If you never punish a system, it drifts away from your interest. This is what white people should learn. By not punishing the Republican Party for so long. And the Republican Party has been getting away with lies and lies and lies for 30, 50 years. They've been consistently lying to the American people to justify complete use of the American people for Israeli wars in the Middle East, completely based on falsehoods, open falsehoods that are known to be falsehoods. There's no one who says, oh yeah, there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. No, there were not. Everyone knows it. And so it's again and again, the Republican Party has been deceiving the American people. And so that's why you have a Nick Fuentes kind of branch of politics that is developing. It's because, yeah, when is it going to be time to say, okay, you crossed my line here? You're not doing anything on legal migration. You are continuing to import infinite H-1Bs for the big tech. When will they have crossed your line? And Trump is a negotiator in this setting. Trump is trying to soften it between the American people and the kind of elitist Jewish interests that are controlling him. But there's some point at which the negotiator must be thrown down the well, like in the movie 300. You know, the messenger. This is Spartak! At some point, the Trumps of this world have to be told, look, you're trying to resolve a mathematical equation that is irresolvable. And we're going to need what's after Trump. We're going to have to start thinking what's better than Trump. So that's my attitude is, let's go on the side of Nick Fuentes. Let's scratch the Band-Aid off I'm going to be banning you, Pod Life. Bye-bye. Well, here, I'm going to delete your message to give you one last chance. And if you ever say that again, I will be banning you forever. End of the line. Joel says there has been an explosion of popular AI tools over the past 24 months. In fact, the landscape is confusing because of the variety and frequent releases of these tools. Will we see a consolidation into a few winners over the next 3 years? For example, will Suno AI win the field of music creation? Will Midjourney win image creation? Absolutely. There will be a funneling, like in any market. In any market, these players emerge, but so, and it's not because they're not necessarily good. There will be very good music AI that will just be, they will just skip a generation. They will be forgotten by everyone, and they might have been kind of good, but not good enough. And eventually, yeah, I also consider that there will be a concentration. Right now, if you build an AI like Grok, it's mainly text and, you know, math and equations, but it remains a chatbot. If you build an AI like Suno AI, you are on the music side. I believe at some point there will be generalized AI that will be that will outcompete the specialized ones, because at some point these AIs are all doing the same thing. Taking Suno AI and having Grok just produce music for you is not very far. Grok just needs some tools. Grok just needs some of the tricks that have been developed by Suno AI. So one day it will all be integrated into single AI products, and you won't have to go to a specific place to get this or that. Wahed says gaming will replace music and will be the main container of medias. That is an interesting possibility, a virtual world expanding. In a way, we can see everything on the internet since 1995 has been kind of this. We have started with a small world, and it has expanded, and eventually pictures, videos, and eventually people's live streaming, so the present moment being captured by the internet itself. And yeah, so, and 3D worlds, MMORPGs, the expansion of a virtual space, just like Second Life, the game Second Life. Too bad that it turned so parasitized. It's interesting what happened to Second Life, because it's like, oh, what if? What if there was a second chance for you? You are a geek. Real life is painful. What if we created a world where everything is possible? And now there's the Second Life currency, the Linden. And so, and this currency has actual market value with respect to the USD. And now people are spending Linden to buy their little 3D square in which they build their house, and they can exist and they can interact with other beings. And wow, you know what? What a bold vision it was, Second Life, the game. But eventually you log into Second Life and it's like there's a street of parasite degenerates. And you walk toward your home that you paid for. You paid in Linden, which is USD ultimately. You paid in USD to have your little square, but it's been surrounded by parasites, and you have bots, with their boobs offering sex, and you have people trying to offer you scams where you can buy some script tools, and oh, here's some clothing store where you can buy stuff with Linden. Eventually, Second Life got parasitized quicker than actual life. And Second Life tells us what will happen with every civilization. It's like, yeah, at the bottom of it, at the end of it, at the end of the tunnel, there's a bunch of carpet salesmen just trying to scam you. no matter what you do. Down further says, thank you for these streams, JF. Nobody understands the tech, etc. like JF. Well, thank you, because I do like this tech. I am fascinated by AI. I am also warning against AI. Like, before AI existed, as we know it today, I was warning against AI. Ruth Sternwood says, porting existing collaborative tools to MMOs would enrich the UX and facilitate real economic activities in a way Second Life could not quite pull off. Definitely, I think we barely begun, exploring permanent gaming spaces. What Facebook is trying to do, kind of, because when Facebook renamed itself Meta, what they implied is that they were in the process of building a virtual 3D world. It didn't quite catch yet. I don't see Meta being headed there. I don't know what's up with their metaverse. But yeah, there has to be a metaverse. There has to be a permanent space of virtual existence. And for now, it's people's account on Twitter. It's people's YouTube channel. So the virtual space is being built. But the game is the whole of the internet. It's like we're not yet contained into a 3D space that is particular. But if you look at kids playing, I've been looking at what kids are interested in, and there's this Roblox thing. Roblox is a game where it's just this 3D space in which you hang out as your character, and you can choose whatever levels other Roblox players in the community have created. So you get into these spaces, and children hang out. They hang out on their tablets with other children. They jump, and sometimes the levels include some challenges. You have to jump onto a block and whatever it is that the community can come up with. So we're kind of starting this this 3D permanent space hangout. Dan Fredar says, they have an audience captured in Roblox. Yes, I didn't know about this. I never knew about Roblox until I saw some children play this, and I was like, wow, okay, that's new stuff. Papa JF has been made obsolete. Papa JF has been outplayed by the next generation. Marby Dog says, Mets has over 1 billion user. I don't use it, but someone is. Meta. Meta, 1 billion users. What are they doing in these in the metaverse? Ruth Sternwood says, Roblox now an 88B company priced for big growth. 88 billion company. Okay. I didn't know. Roblox is literally new to me from last week. I didn't know this was going on. So Roblox is this kind of Minecraft-like, very cubic space. And children just have constant new levels because everyone in the community is creating these new hangout places. You just click on it and now your character is in it. You can walk around, you can jump. People chat on this. People are chatting with each other. Thief-in-Law says, does anyone feel guilty for playing video games? Like you should be doing something more productive? I kind of used to, but not for myself, but out of self-consciousness, and especially with respect to women, because women hate to see you play video games. That really sucks, because women have this whole connection to the real world, this thing going on that they have. And so very often my exes would be letting me know in various subtle or not so subtle ways, you play too much. I need attention. Look at me. Look at my eyes. Ah! But this has gone now. Now I've gone to I'm a man gone his own way, although I have a girlfriend, but she is a special girlfriend. She is a girlfriend who understands the game, the gamer in me, and admires it. So it's like I was showing her pictures of my childhood as a winning local tournaments of Nintendo and Super Nintendo, and she was like, oh yeah, my boyfriend is the elite, you won. I never knew that winning tournaments of Nintendo and Super Nintendo could be seen as attractive to a woman, but my girlfriend is that woman. She is the one in the world who can admire and appreciate that. So that's solved. I can spend the rest of my life without any guilt. I can play as much as I want. John Drake says, you don't play much anyway, JF. You're not a degen. You'd be surprised. I may be playing 20 to 30 hours of Dota still as of today per week.
To where we have high-tech sci-fi megacities with a 90% unemployment rate? This is the setting of the Judge Dredd comics, by the way, where in one issue a man's job is automated and he is arrested for protesting it.
I think we may be headed there. I think the big question is, what is the basis of sustainability of these cities? So yes, we will have mega cities. I mean, we kind of have mega cities already. There will be kind of places where people gather in small units of living. So, you know, just the same way you see in Japan, as a population becomes too dense, they start building these super high skyscrapers where you have this little triangle apartment in it, and it's like, that's your corner. We are seeing this exists. Now, the problem of the utopian megacity is probably not viable and not sustainable. Like, truly no work, truly no productivity. There needs to be an input to any system. And what we are bound to find is that these utopian megacity will be money-draining machines. So the same way New York real estate is a money-draining machine. I mean, can you consider what you need to rent an apartment in New York? There's not a local job in New York that will give you enough to rent an apartment in New York. So what do you end up with? You end up with, oh, we're trying to attract basically the billionaires and millionaires from outside this area to have a spot inside the area. That's the only way these cities are sustainable, because even if you were to buy a condominium, let's say you have a massive amount of money to begin with, they will drain you on HOA and condominium association fees to pay the butler at the bottom, or to pay the guy that cares for the grass, or to pay for the plumbers. And you're going to have a monthly payment, and then you're going to have the taxes of the city that will effectively make these things just pressing machines for rich money, pressing machine for wealthy people. I don't think that the utopian city, as envisioned as a kind of dream place to be, will exist. Ultimately, there is no dream place to be, because parasitism comes at you from all directions. It comes at you from the difficulty of life, but when you surmount this, it comes at you from the municipal taxes, the state agents, the bureaucrats. Everyone wants to pull away from you until there's nothing left at the middle. Rafed Rex says, rent seeking, Henry George was the road not taken. Absolutely. Stephen Law says, NYC wants nothing but hedge fund managers and Mossad agents. Well, you know, New York will end up with what they... I think that New York will end up a relatively high Muslim city eventually. I don't think the Jews can control it forever. And Mandamir, whoever this guy is. This guy is kind of the brown representative of the New York future. I think he, whether he wins or not, I don't know, but I know that in the future, people like him will be very representative of New York. It's inevitable. John Drake says, all of the working class in cities live in the subs. Only the very rich and poor live in them now. Yeah, you have this big contrast where sometimes the city has a spot, the poor spot, and this is where we host, this is where we hold our black people, you know? But it's like, if you want to live in there, you have to tolerate super high crime, and it's unviable for families. End of the line, Joel says, New York has a significant population of Jewish Hasidics who are a net drain on the economy. I don't know how you think of it as a drain. I do know that this is true. But what is how would you describe that drain? You mean that they don't engage? They don't engage in the local economy? They just work among themselves? 12-year-old Sophia Forchas, a victim in the Annunciation shooting, remains in critical condition. Her neurosurgeon says, I'm going to be blunt, Sophia is still in critical condition. In the intensive care unit, there's a chance that she's maybe the third fatality of this event, but the door has been opened a little bit and there's some rays of hope shining through. So that could be the third fatality of this shooting. She seems in critical condition 10 days later. Marby Dogs, end of the line, Joel says, they are subsidized in their lifestyle. Marby Dog says, property tax manipulation. Ah, that's interesting. Is there such a thing? Do they have tricks to not pay the property tax? Because the property tax is the drain. It is, it's amazing how much these societies like Quebec have been completely destroyed in terms of property being anything because of property tax. It's like you are at the mercy of your locality and they all have these jobs given by the states that are meaningless and it's just free money getting to them forever. So they don't mind an upping in the property tax. But for someone who lives low profile like me and who's trying to... My life relies on equilibrium. I don't want any ongoing expenses. For someone like me, it's very destructive, property tax, because it's the one thing that you pay for nothing. You pay for just... Like a little dog jumping over the stick, showing that he can do it. You're kind of paying performatively. Guy Slapkin says, Jeff, chat once asked you about brain transplantation operation, and you said that in this case, you get a new body referring to the brain. Did you misspoke? Brain is part of the cream. It's not you. Well, okay. Sure. You're right, but the you that I meant at that moment when I said that was the psychological you. You in principle, you would still feel like you. John Drake says, they work property taxes here in Ontario, Canada. My parents benefiting from owning a home in an affluent Jewish town. The town next door to us is hammered, but not them. Ah, okay, so they organize politically and they make it so that it's not increasing for them. 9MMSMG says, we're going to deport you to countries I didn't even know existed. This is hilarious. ICE has just informed Kilmar Abrego Garcia, so that's the guy who has the MS-13 tattoo on his knuckles, on his fingers. And it seems to be the basis on which the American government is deporting him because the tattoo decoded means MS-13. And so they allege that he is part of a gang. He will now be deported to the small African country of Eswatini. That is fucking hilarious. So this guy was like, please don't deport me to my home country. I will be harassed. I will be the victim of political persecution. It's like, okay, we're going to deport you this place. There's nothing for you to fear in Eswatini. You're just going to be surrounded by Africans. They are just like us. Nothing different. You can enjoy official status in Eswatini. That is fucking hilarious, bro. Can you imagine this? Kelmar Abrego Garcia, probably a very American Hispanic man, you know? He spent years in America, so probably Hispanic roots and American. He finds himself in Africa. You are officially a citizen of the country, the African country of Eswatini. Fucking hilarious, bro. How is he gonna make it out of there? I don't know. I don't know what he will do. He may actually decide to head back to his home country and therefore demonstrate that all of his complaints are unjustified. That no, he doesn't fear persecution there. There was a ICE crackdown onto a Hyundai battery plant. So these electric vehicles starting to be sold by Hyundai. But Hyundai had a plant in Georgia being operated almost entirely by illegals. The same facility was built with $5 billion as part of a Biden administration investment to bring jobs back to America. Unbelievable. We are throwing money artificially into the system to build cars that people may not even want to buy at overrated prices. And the money doesn't even flow back into American hands because the local company decides to hire almost all illegal migrants. So the illegal migrants were they were literally running ICE raid at a Hyundai plant in Savannah, Georgia. Now, this was in 2022. A statement by President Joe Biden on Hyundai investment in Georgia. Well, the the presidential statement was in 2022, where Joe Biden has built this plant. So this is a federal money plant, but the federal money flows to Democrat administrators and eventually goes down, trickles down to illegal migrants. Boroop says, yeah, John, I heard they started changing their rules to combat the hordes on the boat. John Drake was saying, have you seen any videos of Carnival cruise lines where blacks take them over and cause chaos? Oh yeah, I've seen plenty of these social media videos. And it's these cruises, they were annoying to me back in the days where they were filled with white people. That is how much I hate. I hate these cruises. I hate these cruises for so many reasons. First, why would you isolate yourself in a tactically disadvantaged position alone at sea? It's like, do you want trouble in your life? What the fuck is the point of being on the sea? If you are taking a boat on the sea because you are a fisherman, an expert fisherman trying to fish special kinds of fishes that are only available in the ocean, then credits to you. I respect you. But if you go onto these cruise boats only to be exposed to the sun, which is the exact same sun that you would have on the ground, then you're really going into water for no reason at all. You're going into water to feel onto water, and everything is made on these cruise boats to for people who like the sun. First, you're exposing your skin to dangerous cancer-causing radiation. Why would you want that? And then everything is all based on hedonism on these cruises, gaming machines, you know, poker, video poker machines. It's all very boomerish what's offered on these cruises, and then alcohol. So it's like, I hated these cruises to begin with. But now that these cruises, now that blacks are getting their free jobs because of DEI, now they have money and they spend it on these ridiculous boomer cruises. And so you end up having, throwing of the pitchers and throwing of the chairs becomes a part and parcel of the cruise economy. And I'm so happy because it's like, oh, I love when evil destroys itself. Let them fight. Let the blacks handle the boomers. In a way, it's a world that shouldn't have existed, and nature comes back and shows us why it shouldn't exist. I love this kind of stuff. I love this kind of stuff because it's self-manageable. Papa JF has not to deploy any effort. The boomer cruises have been destroyed. Thief in Law says they both took the jab. I think that made them both retarded. Rodila says, I don't know who we're talking about. Rodila says, can you imagine such a cruise ship in a Titanic situation? You think Walmart is bad? What you mean? Do you mean the Netflix remake of the Titanic movie with black people? instead of the Romans.
My boomer uncle literally just went on a cruise. I think you could get a better experience in a swimming pool floating in a rubber tube Lamau.
Oh yeah. The most funny thing they do is they put a fucking pool. They put a pool on the cruise ship. Holy shit. How much boomerism is that? You've done 2 degrees of fractal embedment in water. You fucking idiot. You've created a pool in a pool. If you want to dip in water, go to a beach. You're going to be at the interface between ground and water. If you create a circle of water, if you create a rectangle of water, but you contain it into a cruise ship that itself is in water, then you have fractalized the concept of being a boomer. You are headed to infinity boomerism. Just Rocking Robin Hood says, Jeff, the put trees, cobblestone surfaces. Cruise ships are like cities. They put trees in cobblestone surface. Okay, they put actual living trees. So that you feel like it's... Well, this makes my point. I mean, you wanted to be on the ground. You wanted to have a stable ground. That ground is called America. That ground... That ground is called a continent. Now you made a fake ground that's floating on water. What the fuck are you doing? Lord of Sigma says, most cruise ships don't do anything useful. Cargo ships, okay. Cruise ships are a folly. At least the Titanic, etc., traveled to deliver people a new life overseas. The cruise ship just returns home. Exactly. I can understand transport ships. That's fine. Baroop says, this is where I draw the line, JF. This cruise ship shtick is your most outrageous take. You drew the line there, Baroop? You're a weird man. No one draws the line there. People hate JF before that or after that. No one hates me for my take on cruise ships. Gnostic Informant says, if you were offered 2 magic buttons and are forced to press only one, I'm waiting for the completion of his chat. If you are offered two magic buttons and you're forced to press only one, what will be the choice that he gives me? Anyways, while we wait, Stephen Law says, I know a guy whose wife died on a cruise. He had to power drink and play blackjack for 4 days while they stuffed her into a freezer. Wow. That is weird. Wow. You have to continue playing the boomer hedonism game while your wife your wife is dead. Wow. Wow. Gnostic Informant says, so I have he's giving me buttons. No, I cannot talk about this. DOD becomes the Department of War. It's so clear, I mean, what Trump is doing. Trump, you know, sometimes he has these actions that are good, and you're like, yeah, cheer on it. And then Trump, he has these actions that clearly he has his hands tied on this. It was gonna be this. Everything that relates to J.D. Vance, Iran, are all things that I don't think come from Trump. I think they come from a negotiation that he's had that, yeah, okay, I'm going to listen to you on this and I'm going to listen to you on that. So renaming the Department of Defense, the Department of War. And you have here PTechSec bragging about it through an AI-made video where he would be changing his office to Secretary of War rather than Secretary of Defense. This is all indicative that we are headed toward war and that the strikes on Iran were probably just Trump trying to negotiate on doing it but not doing it too much. And ultimately, down the line, what we have is J.D. Vance takes over the Republican Party in 2028. Within 4 years, he enters war with Iran to expand Israeli interest at the western border of China. That is what we're looking at. I think it can only happen in that direction, which is why we have to prepare. I'm not voting and I'm not supporting J.D. Vance. I'm not supporting this. I don't like what's being pulled in front of our eyes here. We have someone who's clearly rooting for war, who's clearly unsatisfied. Because when J.D. Vance went on TV right after the election, and it was this bizarre appearance where J.D. Vance was like, what Trump needs to do now, and he was dictating what Trump should do. What Trump needs to do now is strike Iran decisively and strongly. That was kind of unsolicited. When they do that, it's because they're trying to lock something in the public mind. He wanted to lock something in here that he was within the Trump administration. He was the Iran war hawk. And I believe that we're just in the preliminaries here. The long game is J.D. Vance taking over the Republican Party to deliver the war that is dreamed up by Israel, by the Jewish billionaires, by maybe Peter Thiel, maybe Palantir, maybe all these AI companies that want to feature their AI military strategies. John Drake says, Vance has been groomed from his university days by Jews like this. Absolutely. Like Thiel. Yes, absolutely. He's a fake illbilly, Shamrock Shake. You are correct. They made up a whole story around him being a hillbilly. But what's hillbilly here? You've been going to Yale. You married an Indian. You hang out with Jews, you are funded by Jews, you are groomed and intellectually raised by David Frum. who's, you know, behind the whole Middle Eastern interventions of the U.S. neocon movement. It's been a long time since you haven't been a hillbilly, if you ever were. Wahed says, internet security companies operating out of Israel. Yeah, exactly. So it's like they want to take over the Republican Party for what's really the interest of Israel is how many countries do I control up to the border of China? And at this point, it's continuing interventions against Iran. Although Trump has kept it within the domain where it can be argued we were only fighting against the nuclear aspect. They want to go further than this. They want basically what is an open confrontation with China. Because China needs Iran from an oil perspective. Iran is the gas station of China. Israel wants to control Iran, probably to so that in a future where you envision the continent, the Asian continent up to the Middle East, they want a world in which China is isolated and they are a dominant force. And they feel that they have to take over Iran for that to happen. Extremely worrying times ahead. Shariella, U.S. Police Department introduces Arabic patch. A police department in Michigan has introduced a uniform patch that has Arabic written on it, prompting fierce backlash. Dearborn Heights Police Department is believed to be the first in the country to have a patch with a language other than English. Oh my God. Dearborn Heights Police, written in Arabic. What the fuck is going on in these cities? Complete overtake by the Muslims. Leave. Owen Schreier is featuring a clip showing all of his historical appearances on InfoWars and his historic moments. What an epic ride. I wish nothing but the best for the entire InfoWars team. Owen Schreier has decided to leave InfoWars. I watched his explanation and I'm happy that he is, because ultimately I think independent thinkers, you know, I'm one of them, and I'm one of them who stayed independent across my more than a decade-long career. And I think we missed that. I think the early internet was filled with independent thinkers making calls, trying to do their best. Whereas the internet eventually got populated by people who were part of stables and groups, and they are pushed for, they are being asked to tweet about this specifically this week and that next week. And that completely destroys independent thought. And since we have the internet and we have crowdfunding, I was very much hoping that the internet was the last time we have to fight for independence of thought. I was truly hoping that the parasites and the people who control cable TV wouldn't come to control free thought on the internet and wouldn't succeed. So in a way, independence, having Owen Schreier be his own man and gather his own money and get money from his own fans, that is good. That is good long term. And he's mentioned in his video that he felt some pressure from Alex Jones. He felt that Alex Jones was coming at him and saying, oh, you're too negative. And that was kind of a subtle push on him to say, you're too negative about Trump. You should be more on the side of Trump. And Owen Schreier felt uncomfortable. He felt that it was kind of pressuring his editorialism in a direction. He also felt that he ended up being associated with things that he doesn't really support. I don't know what that means. Does he mean things that he doesn't actually support? Maybe products that Alex Jones was selling? Maybe guests that Alex Jones is having? Maybe Owen Schreier was looking, you know, at the boomer guest list, because Alex Jones as Nick Fuentes that he invites often, that is good. And I'm pretty sure Owen Schreier is sympathetic to Nick Fuentes. But then he has these other clownish guesses, and he has, you know, this whole Roger Stone more side of it that he used to have a lot. He's been drifting away from it, but he has these clowns and these scam artists sometimes on. And perhaps there was a subset of those that were triggering to Owen Schreier. So I think that he's left InfoWars, and he was also explaining that he needs so much money to survive in Austin. Austin is a very liberal place, by the way. Don't be fooled by the fact that it's in Texas. Austin is a absolutely shit liberal city, okay? And he was getting sued, prosecuted by the local authorities. Because they're Democrats and they do everything they can to make life miserable to InfoWars. So he was having difficulty just staying afloat in this town. Whereas as an independent creator, he can move anywhere in the US and he's gonna be bringing in enough money to pay the local property taxes and have a more decent life. So all of these reasons are good reasons, and I see his leaving InfoWars as generally positive. But Alex Jones is crashing out, and it's amazing because Owen Schreier left without any sort of escalation toward Alex Jones. You know, Alex Jones could just have said positive things about him. He was saying positive things about Alex Jones. He did a little comment on, you know, Alex Jones was telling me that I'm too negative about Trump. But it was very small. Overall, I consider that it was a dignified leaving of InfoWars. But Alex Jones has been crashing out. He says, admit that you quit and that we've never censored you. Also, confess to the fact that you're given an 87% pay increase in the last 4 years. Okay, it may all be true, but Owen Schreier hasn't claimed being censored by Alex Jones. He has claimed that there was this bizarre pull towards certain directions with respect to Trump that he didn't feel comfortable about. That's very different from saying he was censored. And 87% pay increase, I guess that doesn't mean much if you're stuck in Austin with the local liberals completely destroying you through legal warfare. So all in all, I would say, Alex Jones, relax. Relax, Alex. Owen Schreier, you know, did what was in his interest. You kind of built him up. You built up who he is. And so in a way, he owes you. But employment is what it is, and he owes you nothing else than the work he's done up to the point where you paid him. So I think there is good to celebrate in both the years that he spent. And in a way, Owen Schreier kind of saved InfoWars in a way that InfoWars also built Owen Schreier. Because if InfoWars didn't have Owen Schreier, for many years they were very boomerish. They were very late on the Nick Fuentes wave. They were very late on racial identitarian understanding. They were really beside the track, and they were losing touch with reality. And Owen Schreier was the only one who was kind of paying attention to what was going on in these spheres. So I can't wait to see what a free Owen Schreier will do. Will he be a little more racialist? Because it seems that from dog whistles of him, it seems that he is very conscious of the situation, the demographic situation, but that he may not have been able to talk about it freely. I can't wait to see if that's the case. Or perhaps he will show his true face also. Perhaps we have here an anti-racist who was trying to negotiate within the InfoWars sector. Stephen La says, how many in here started off listening to Alex Jones? I don't know that I started with Alex Jones, but I've been a listener and watcher of Alex Jones since the Bohemian Grove days. I mean, so it's been a long time. John Drake says, he was all over Zionist years back before Alex put the hammer down. So will we see more based Owen Schroyer? That's what I would love to see. Democrat extremism underwrites Trump. Democrats' extremism continues to undermine Trump's agenda. Since 2021, this has been the case, and it shows no sign of stopping. Rather than bolstering them as an alternative, Democrats are giving Trump the leverage to pursue his aggressive agenda. Trump's 2024 victory was a landslide in swing state and states between the coasts. However, Trump's win in the popular below 50% and in the electoral votes was hardly historic, nor did he bring home large congressional majorities. Yet Trump took office governing like FDR in his first 100 days. Now into his third 100 days, Trump is still doing so. And this is a president who was twice impeached and once defeated. No impeached president has ever been reelected, let alone a twice impeached one. And the last time a defeated president was reelected occurred over 130 years ago. How is this possible? Democrats' extremism is making them even less popular. Okay, so basically the thesis here is that the Democrats are so hated by the population for how they've handled the last few years. You know, this whole trans thing. They went too far. And so Trump is being adored because of the contrast that he gives toward the Democrat. Yeah, I would agree that it is a correct analysis. Wahed Rex says, AJ was on public access TV. I saw a couple of VCR tapes of his stuff when it was new. Yeah, absolutely. I remember those days where Alex Jones, I mean, I don't even know, was it on Quebec Channel TV? Certainly, I must have seen some Alex Jones back on mainstream, not mainstream, like top mainstream, but certainly quasi-mainstream channels back in the days. I certainly have seen that, yes. 450 illegal aliens were arrested at the Hyundai battery plant in Georgia. We've seen a video earlier. A major immigration enforcement operation at the Hyundai mega site battery plant, leading to the apprehension of about 450 unlawful aliens, emphasizing our commitment to community safety. Wow. Man, these places, at some point, if you have that many, it's for sure the leaders of this plant knew. If you have one, maybe it's an accident. If you have 450, that's your business line. That's your business, the bottom line of your business. So they knew. Hopefully there will be prosecution also of the higher ups, not just the illegals. John Drake says he had Infowars.com in the mid-90s and you could stream the audio of the radio show if you had broadband, that is. Yeah, I remember. There is some point. I remember before InfoWars. I remember that he was doing documentaries, and somehow I grabbed copies of this at some point. As far as I can remember, I knew who Alex Jones was. California to spend $239 million turning San Quentin into a Scandinavian-style rehab center. What does that mean? A Scandinavian style rehab center. Modeled after systems in Norway and Denmark, the project emphasizes rehabilitation through work, education, and normalizing spaces, such as a self-service grocery store, cafe, farmer's market, and podcast studio. Prisoners will have single rooms, reducing San Quentin's population from 3,400 to 2,400. Yeah, well, you're not going to rehabilitate criminals. So it's like, yeah, okay, more services for prisoners. Thank you. Thank you in the name of the prisoners. Yeah, and a podcast studio. So that's been on my mind. I've been wondering, do prisoners have a First Amendment right? And if so, can they do podcasting? Can they stream? Could we have a kind of a in prison stream on Twitch? I've been wondering that. I've never really found an answer. I guess the answer is in California, yes. Quinn, World War III is inevitable. Compromise isn't an option during the fourth turning. Is there any indication whatsoever that we are not on a course towards all-out war? We are absolutely on that course. And today, Trump renaming the Department of Defense the Department of War. Here's the problem. They're trying to go at China, ultimately. You have no idea. The Chinese are vicious. They have these drones. Like, you're not going to be able to fight the Chinese. A war between America and China would be absolute mutual destruction. You have no clue. Because you're going to be facing armies of drones, and they are very good at controlling these drones. You're gonna have automated drones just killing your troops, killing your ships. The Chinese are something. They are very pacified people. And we should respect them for this, because as long as you don't annoy them, they're going to be good. They are very good and very... They do the extra length of looking for peace. But China versus America, that would be absolutely destructive. It would assure mutual destruction. There's no way you get out of this without massive casualties and just throwing money at nothing, because they're going to destroy your ships so easily. Imagine you have 20,000 drones coming toward your ship. Each of them can just blow a little hole in your hull. But you're not going to stop 20,000 drones. You know, $50 drones. Just intelligently navigating toward your ship and coming in all sorts of spirals. And it's like your detection systems are like... Maybe you're going to stop half of them. Maybe you're going to stop 10% of them. But they're gonna break it up with... John Drake says, aircraft carriers are obsolete. We've been saying that on this show for a decade. Absolutely. I don't know that I've been saying it for a decade, but absolutely. You are correct. I've certainly been saying it for a couple of years. Tank war is obsolete. Aircraft carriers are obsolete. Now, it's all about cheap drone, robotics, and AI. And the Chinese are there. They are capable of waging war with this. Now, would they get involved in an Iran war? Probably in some form. They would probably, depending. If it's a very distant war that doesn't threaten the sovereignty of Iran, they would probably just support Iran. If it was a ground war looking to take control of Iran, they would probably get involved in many ways. First, perhaps physically, and second, perhaps in terms of societal psyops and kind of intelligence counter warfare. Wahed says, low Earth orbit drone Angar. Ah, you want these these big rectangles of just orbiting around the Earth, ready to unleash these drones down. I think there are currently international treaties making this illegal. But you could easily think that in a war scenario, this could be put together very quick. But right now, there is a ban against the militarization of space, which is ridiculous because we have already militarized space. We have satellites, and these satellites are looking for live images of what's happening on the ground, and they are guiding missiles there. Definitely, we have militarized space. But there is a ban on, throwing projectiles from space, having satellites that are holding bombs. You can't have this right now, at this point. And it is believed that there are no satellites that are holding bombs. PodLife says, war is always unpopular. Nobody votes for war, but we are always at war. Yeah. Coronal Mass Ejection says, destroying a nation economically is better. Look how Europe is being destroyed by immigration. Certainly. So this woman goes to the hospital. She has a stroke. She's expected to make a full recovery. But she gets raped. She gets raped in the hospital. And nobody notices the massive blood loss in her bed after the rape for 48 hours. And she ends up dying from the blood loss. What the fuck? And the hospital apparently has been hiding evidence, has been destroying all sorts of evidence that could have pointed to who did the rape. I kind of suspect a pattern here. I kind of suspect different guesses, phenotypic characteristics that perhaps are more likely to be found in the rapist. But they destroyed the evidence, and she ends up being dead. She was there to recover from a stroke. She ends up dead because she got raped by a mystery hospital rapist. But the hospital hid so much evidence that they have no idea who did it. Ruth Sternwood says, ask not for whom the dong tolls, it tolls for thee. I don't know what that means. Rodita Sid says, and a janitor was quietly fired for no reason at all. Yes. I'm guessing that something like this could happen, although I don't even know that anyone was fired. I've confirmed that multiple accounts on X, two of which got caught taking money to lobby for India, are owned by a Florida shell corp, which is owned by someone who is not an American. We need transparency on account ownership on X immediately. So yeah, there was the Defiant Els. It was a bizarre account, this Defiant Els. These anonymous accounts I hate. They start being propped up and you can see them rise so quick. You know it's artificial. You know it's another Petal Teal knockoff of some sort. They start these accounts. They farm engagement. They meme a lot on stuff that's likely to go viral, but that's not particularly intelligent. And they make a specialty. You had many of those. Some of them were like Shanika Delusions, which was all about black woman being deluded. And they have material to start, but eventually it gets very thin. They spread their material very thin. Defiant Els started as, okay, it's a defiant L is when you really lost an argument or something, but you're defiant in sticking with your falsehood. So he had material at the beginning. Eventually it spread really thin. And at some of his posts, I was like, where's the defiant L here? But it turned out that he was taking money. So there, from India. Bro. I will never take a cent from India. I don't care if I'm starving. I'm not getting paid by India. India, you know, their currency is such that basically to give me $1, they would have to take the work of 1,000 Indians working for 5 years. And it's like, let's pool our effort together to give $1 to JF. And amazingly, you had these accounts that were taking in money to push pro-India talking points. I mean, you can't make this shit up. Pro-India. In the era where there was there was so much negative exposure to Indians. And back then, you know, it was when Barry Stanton was banned from X for making, and there was a whole week where it was poo jokes all over the internet. I remember that moment. Somehow these guys were like, I'm not getting into the poo joke. That is not funny, guys. And they were taking money from India. Can you imagine being paid $1,500? There were small amounts of money. You're paid $1,500 to not make poo jokes about India. At this point, it's like, you're just trying to step on my pride as a man. There's no amount, there's no $1,500 check that will make me that will make me not do a poo joke on Indians. I'm sorry. I can't sign this contract. Rodita says, JF would gladly take money from Epstein, but never from India. Exactly. But see, even from more money from Epstein, I have never let Epstein control any of my content. It's like, if you want to pay me, I can accept money, but I will never stop the poo jokes. You can't take poo jokes away from me. That is not for sale. Poo jokes are not for sale. That is it for tonight, boys. That is all the news I had. Tiffinla says, IMC does similar. Yan Majchong used other people's shit from Twitter to build his following, often giving the original person credit. Often not giving the original person credit for the content. Oh yeah, these churning accounts have been rewarded so much by Elon Musk in early days. They've been propped up. They've been when Elon came with monetization, it was absolutely rewarding, this stealing. And it still is. And I'm an old school guy. I don't wake up in the morning thinking, how can I copy and drain the thinking of others to make more money with my X account? I'm an old school guy. So when I wake up in the morning, I'm like, how can I be original on X? And no matter what it leads to in terms of money. But these guys are like, you can tell that they spend their days just, how much more money can I drain from Twitter? It's so disgusting. These fucking creeps. Bro, the internet sucks. Everything is shit. Second Life went to shit. The world will go to shit too.